What if the parasites located inside the muscles of the anus send out signals of paranoia to the physiology when they do not receive sufficient alcohol to maintain their survival? What if this is where anxiety and paranoia of alcoholism arises from? From the parasites in the muscles surrounding the anus. Because they want the person to drink alcohol. And they don't care if you eat food. They just care whether or not you drink alcohol. And if you drink enough alcohol, you won't be interested in anything else as a side effect. Their only sole interest is to get you to keep drinking. And they're located in the anus. Now, this makes sense, even though it doesn't make sense maybe to you or anybody else, but it makes sense to me because the anus is the exit point while the lips are the entrance point for oral consumption. And I bet you the anus is the leverage that controls the mouth. I've always wondered about gays who are busy sticking their tongue up another guy's butt. How can they do this? Well, regardless of anything, just thinking about it, you have to literally, if you're butt-fucking somebody, you literally have to think in terms of the butt being equivalent to the mouth. Isn't that normally what we stick our tongue inside of when we give somebody fellatio? Not fellatio. Is that called fellatio, where you give somebody your tongue during kissing? You know, French kissing. When you give somebody a French kiss, I mean, you don't give two tiny little pecks on either side of their lips, on either cheek. But you literally stick your tongue down their mouth, practically to their uvula, their glottal, whatever, to the back of the mouth, to the throat. Because you're literally, when you're butt-fucking, when you're kissing somebody's butt, and you're butt-fucking them, it's kind of the same as kissing their mouth, isn't it? You're treating the butt as if it's a mouth. And maybe that's what it all boils down to. Maybe homosexuality is nothing more than a parasite. In other words, each person responds to the parasitic infestation of the anal muscle in a different way. Some people respond with alcoholism. Other people respond by becoming gay or being born gay, depending on when they acquired the parasite. When they were born or before, you know, as they were coming down the vaginal tube of their mom. Did they acquire the parasite? Because the anus is right next door to the vagina. Why shouldn't they? Why couldn't they? So each person responds in their own way, but they respond with something drastic, because this is pretty drastic. This is controlling how you eat. And maybe one way says, well, you can't have food unless you have sex with a guy. Or the other response is, well, you can't have food or anything unless you drink alcohol. In other words, these are responses that might vary based on the individual's coping mechanism they chose to take. But whatever mechanism they chose to take, now the parasite creates such a strong incentive because of paranoia that they cannot give up the habit pattern. Whatever habit pattern they form to cope with the parasite living in their anus, they cannot give it up. They have to keep it up, or else the paranoia sets in. And if they don't keep it up, the paranoia just drives them nuts. And even if they do keep it up, the paranoia drives them nuts. So actually, that's what it really is. It doesn't cure them of the paranoia. The paranoia merely reinforces their habit pattern and gives it such an ultimacy of strength, because the paranoia is constantly there causing them to be afraid. And, you know, when you're in a state of panic, you can't think straight. It's like a person in depression. It's no different than depression. You can't think rationally when you're overwhelmed by emotion of any sort, whether it's grief or depression or fear or anger. You just can't think. And so if you're in a constant state of strong urgency of emotional upwelling that is never resolved, then your own security blanket may be a habit pattern. And it's the habit itself, not the type of habit, not what the habit is, but the urgency of maintaining that habit at all costs, whatever habit you chose to take. You have to keep maintaining it, or else you freak out double time. Because you're already freaking out, but you freak out doubly because you're not doing something about it. Okay, I'm maintaining the habit. So now that's obsessive compulsive behavior. That's defining alcoholism in terms of obsessive compulsive behavior, not in terms of bipolar, no, but as OCD, right? Obsessive compulsive disorder. And what if homosexuality or nudity, for that matter? I like to think that I'm not gay, right? And people think, oh, you're gay. No, I'm not gay. It's just I don't care what women think or men. I just have to be naked in public because that's my habit pattern. Okay? That's what I have, this obsessive compulsive desire to be naked. It's my habit pattern. And it's geared to my brain just like an alcoholic. It's very hard to get rid of. Even though you give up the alcohol, you still have the habit pattern annoying you. Well, I haven't given up my nudity. I just have given up doing it in public, only because my son was taken from me. Okay, minor detail, because now I'm suicidal, so I'm not about to do it in public. But I still do it in private, very obsessively, whenever the weather permits. So maybe that's how these very strong habit patterns get engineered, by virtue of a parasite. And I bet it's a waterborne, and I bet it's toxoplasmosis, but not toxoplasmosis affecting the brain so much as affecting the anus, of all things. Now, it may affect both, and they may communicate with both, but I think it's more significant, the location in the anus, because that controls the mouth. And whatever controls the mouth pretty much controls what we do, because most of our survival is predicated on eating, consuming, drinking, eating, and everything else is extra, unless you become a breatharian, which very few people become. Very few. You can count them less fingers on one hand, how many people on this planet are breatharians. Yet they do exist. But that doesn't mean to say it's easy, and it doesn't mean to say it does not exist. It's very rare. Because the impulse to eat or consume or drink is very strong. And if you got a parasite located in the anus, wouldn't you think that's a very strong leverage point, a control point to control the person's actions, to give them so much strong paranoia or fear or whatever, such that any habit they develop to try to cope with that strong feeling is going to become an obsessive habit, and they're not going to be able to break free of it. So I'm not schizophrenic, as people have claimed. I know I'm obsessive, but I am not schizophrenic, and I have to say this over and over again periodically, because people like to think, oh, you've been diagnosed. No, I haven't. It was erroneous, and I never went for a second opinion, because one roommate called me passive-aggressive. Fine. But that doesn't mean I don't eventually find the tools I need, the knowledge I need to fight back. I don't like to put up a fight unless I have knowledge to back me up. That's the only reason why I've been passive most of my life. But once I figure something out, I don't let no one cross my path, because I know better now. And that's what this is. That's what alcoholism is. That's what nymphomania is. It's predicated on a strong emotion. I'll venture to guess it's fear, from a parasite located in the anal muscle, the ring of muscles surrounding the anus, controlling what we consume, and ultimately everything else surrounding what we consume. For instance, when I look at myself naked, or feel myself naked, am I not ingesting that by way of my sense of touch? Is not pooping a very tactile sensation? We feel the poop leaving the body and we go, whew, boy, is that a relief. I took that dump. Because, yeah, it's a burden when it's in the colon building up pressure before it comes out. And when you're constipated, my God, the pressure and the tension and the aggravation is tremendous. But when it goes out, whew, what a relief that is. But if you've got a parasite that never leaves the anus, it never goes away. The pressure never leaves. This is what makes it so emphatic, so emphasized, an emotion and the habit pattern rooted in that emotion, to not give up the habit pattern. Whether it's washing your hands 20 times or running around without your clothes on or drinking alcohol until you die. It's obsessive compulsive behavior. That's what it boils down to. Now, I do a funny thing when I get into the chlorine bath. You know, I take the half tablespoon of DMSO, I step into the Clorox, half cup of Clorox bath, and I do a funny thing right away. And I learned this from watching gay videos. You know, they're so busy sticking things up each other's butts. I figure, you know what? What if I don't? What could hurt me if I take my middle finger and stick it up my butt? And wait a minute. Now they're busy doing stretching. Some of them are sticking whole fists in women's butts or in guys' butts. Why don't I try something along the same lines? I don't want to go as extreme because I'll get an anal fissure and it'll hurt like crazy when it bleeds. Okay, I won't do that. I'll just stick my other middle finger. First one middle finger, and then the other middle finger, very casually, very comfortably, very easily, because I don't want to use my nail to slice anything, very carefully. Now I got two middle fingers up my butthole, and I curl them around the anus to grip it. And each finger is opposite the other, and I roll them past each other so that I'm loosening the anal muscle. And I'm opening up the anal muscle at the same time, allowing the chlorinated bath water to go into my rectum and sterilize the inside of the anal muscle in addition to the outside. So now I got maximum exposure of the anal muscle to the chlorinated bath water. Plus, I've got DMSO in all of the body fluids inside the tissues of the anal muscle, pulling the chlorine in to the anal muscle and purifying it. If there should perchance be any parasites there, they're not going to be very happy with what I'm doing. Even if they should survive that kind of treatment, they're not going to be very happy. It's going to change their behavior. And if I change their behavior, even if I don't eradicate them, if I change their behavior, I change my behavior. And that's ultimately what's the most important thing. Now, if I don't get rid of them, that means this treatment modality is not a permanent fix. Okay. It's not perfect. It means it becomes a crutch. Well, all my protocols are crutches. Every single one I do is a crutch. I have to keep repeating it. But they're all significant. They're all powerful. They all do the job. They are limited to what they can target. You know, whether it's silver or whether it's potassium iodide, whatever it is, they do their job and I'm happy. Because I know exactly what they do. I have no illusions of grandeur that they do more than what they are capable of doing. And so each one fits a certain slot in my toolbox of tools on how I treat myself with alternative preventative health care. And they work. And this is just one more that I learned about over a decade ago and I forgot about it. I pushed it aside because I didn't know how to make sense of it. I was taking DMSO once a day every morning and then going to the public pool and swimming in a highly chlorinated bath. And I was feeling really weird afterwards. And I couldn't put my finger on why or what is this weirdness. And so I just stopped the DMSO and I stopped the swimming. I love to swim. But it shouldn't detract me from this treatment modality because now I understand. Now that, because I have a friend who's an alcoholic and I don't try to do too much to change him because I've learned the hard way. It's very frustrating because I get nowhere with that. I just be with him and let him know I love him and I support him, whatever he chooses to do, although I prefer he doesn't kill himself. I still want to be there to ensure that he knows I love him and support him and give him what he needs because that's what I know he needs that I can give. Anything else is extra credit if I can manage to get it through, you know, advice of any sort. But when I come home, I have to treat myself with better care so that I can be there for him 24/7 on call because I never know when he's going to call me in the middle of the night, middle of the day, and I have to be there for him. So I'm his support team, and I have to be strong and healthy. And so all these, I keep, you know, digging into my brain, okay, racking my, what more can I do to improve my position? Because it's very challenging to help an alcoholic. For the person who's doing the assistance, it's challenging for them, let alone the alcoholic. You know, it's like a lifeguard goes out to try to rescue somebody and ends up drowning in the course of the victim he's trying to rescue also drowns. And my friend Angel brought this up the other day. We were watching surfing videos, and he told me about something I knew about. A lifeguard went out to save somebody, and they both got killed. Not from drowning, but from getting bashed against rocks. Be that as it may, the idea remains the same. When you want to help somebody, you don't want to sink down into their oblivion, right? You don't want to be there with them in their oblivion, even though you are there with them, kind of, when you're with them. But when you go home, you want to refresh yourself. You want to come out of that. And how? Because you want to take better care of yourself than what you are doing already. What more can I do already that I'm not doing already to take better care of myself? And so this is what I've came up with. It came to me in the middle of the night. Oh, yeah, I remember I was swimming over a decade ago, and I stopped the DMSO because I was feeling so weird, because I was feeling porous. I was feeling as porous as a sponge. That DMSO was making me so vacuous, so porous, so solvent, that the chlorine just went right through me, and it made me feel really weird to have my whole internal insides chlorinated. Not just my skin, not just my lungs, not just my eyes or my ear canal, but my entire physiology inside of me. And now I can appreciate what it's good for. You know, you come up with an invention, the first criticism, what's it good for? Okay, it's not good for anything, so why bother with it? Yet it's an invention. It's a major, breathtaking invention. Everybody should be coming to your door, right? Wrong answer. We don't know what it's good for. Let's bury it. Out of what? Fear? Yes. Fear of progress. So now I know what it's good for, so now I have no fear at all of what I've discovered over a decade ago, the efficacy. And I partly rediscovered it at the same time when I channeled my energies in a different direction and combining iodine with DMSO and made a whole channel called DMSOI. The five letters, D as in David, M as in Mary, S is in Samuel, O is in Oliver, I is in Independent. DMSOI, that's the name of my channel on YouTube. And I lost control of the channel because I lost the email address that controlled it and everything, the passwords. So I don't even bother to reclaim it because I have nothing more to contribute. But now I'm taking it on a totally different tangent because chlorine is far superior to iodine when it comes to sterilization. And even if we don't kill off the parasite, if we change its behavior, that's enough because it'll help me break my habit. And I hope break my friend's habit, if he wants to. And he said that much this morning. He'd like to stop drinking, but what do you tell a guy, you know? What do you tell a guy when you don't know what to tell him? I'm not a professional. What do I know? But this might be Vinny's solution. It might work. Now, obviously, you have to keep it up. You don't break habit patterns just from one experience, one successful experience. It's not enough. You have to keep it up. But if you have one good experience, and if your mind intends to keep it up, now at least you have both physical reinforcement as well as your mental intention to keep it up. And maybe gradually, the habit pattern will just dissolve because the urgency, the fear, will also dissolve, and that's the most important thing surrounding the habit pattern, is the fear of what happens if I give up the habit pattern. God forbid I should, because I'm terrified of giving up the habit pattern. That's what it boils down to.